the rest of the story. James, from the time he was a schoolboy, while his chums were playing cricket and rugby, was intrigued instead by mathematical instruments, compasses, drawing pins, dotting wheels and protractors, any and all kinds of mathematical instruments and drafting tools. The problem was there was no one in his hometown, Greenock, Scotland, who could teach James how to make them. And that's precisely what he wanted to do when he grew up. Well, James surely inherited the inclination, his family said, for among his ancestors were mathematicians and astronomers, surveyors, navigators, even his own father, a renowned craftsman specialized in the repair and reconditioning of navigational instruments. But the manufacture of mathematical instruments required specific knowledge and skill, the sort one might acquire at the University of Glasgow, which was widely respected for its curricula in the sciences. So in 1753, young James left home and he went to Glasgow. But imagine his surprise when professors at the university told him, "We have no courses in mathematical instrument making. In fact, the instruments they used in related classes were made in London." So James worked at odd jobs for a year or so in Glasgow and saved his money. And then at 19, he packed up and moved to London. For nothing. Because even though London and Glasgow were only about 400 miles apart, even though England and Scotland were as close as two countries could be, a Scotsman in London was considered a foreigner, an unwelcome outsider, especially with the manufacturers' guilds, in other words, the unions, and of course the makers of mathematical instruments belonged to one of these, the so-called Worshipful Company of Clockmakers. In a phrase, they froze James out. There was no place for him to learn the trade, no one with whom to apprentice, no shop in which to practice. It took weeks of searching and beseeching to locate even one mathematical instrument maker who would defy the regulations of his guild. Even then, it took a bribe. James spent a year learning from and working with this craftsman, John Morgan. And then the young foreigner returned to Glasgow in hopes of applying his new trade on his native soil. But guess what? In Glasgow, mathematical instrument making, although at that time there was no such trade in the city, fell under the jurisdiction of another guild, the Incorporation of Hammermen. And that guild refused to allow James to set up shop because having learned his trade in London made him a foreigner, even in his own country. Well, James knew when he was beaten. So he trudged off to the university, which was not restricted by the guidelines of the guilds, and he went to work for the school, and thus was buried his dream of independence and renown in the field of mathematical instrument making. For sometimes circumstances simply refuse to comply with our own desires and our own bright ideas, and urge us thus onto a different path. Some call it destiny. And so it was for James Watt, the perpetual foreigner, the young Scotsman who wound up in the University of Glasgow because there was nowhere else to go, and yet wherein his horizons expanded to include other challenges. One specific other challenge. Unable to do what he wanted to do, he did something else. And today, every schoolchild knows that something else. James Watt invented the steam engine. Now you know why, because now you know the rest of the story.